guard the gates. In Nehemiah 13, verse 15, the Bible says, "In those days saw I in Judah some treading wine presses on the Sabbath, and bringing in sheaves, and lading asses, and also wine, grapes, and figs, and all manner of burdens, which they brought into Jerusalem on the Sabbath day. And I testified against them in the day wherein they sold victuals. There dwelt men of Tyre also therein, which brought fish, and all manner of ware, and sold on the Sabbath unto the children of Judah and in Jerusalem. Then I contended with the nobles of Judah and said unto them, What evil thing is this that ye do and profane the Sabbath day? Did not your fathers thus, and did not our God bring all this evil upon us and upon this city? Yet ye bring more wrath upon Israel by profaning the Sabbath. And it came to pass that when the gates of Jerusalem began to be dark before the Sabbath, I commanded that the gates be shut and charged that they should not be opened till after the Sabbath. And some of my servants, said I, at the gates, that there should be no burden brought in on the Sabbath day." Let's pray. Dear Father, I thank you for your word. And Lord, you have brought us here tonight to this particular passage to show us some things, and I pray that you would enlighten our minds and our eyes and our ears to see what you want us to see from it. Lord, I pray that you would burn it into our soul. Lord, help us to make the changes that we should so that we can better please you. We thank you for it. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Remember, the Jews had just recently turn back to God after being disobedient to him for over 70 years.
Yeah.
Remember, they went into captivity into Babylon for 70 years. But they went into captivity because of their disobedience.
Yeah.
They began to serve other gods. Okay? So for more than 70 years, they had been in disobedience. They had not been abiding by the law. They had not been abiding by the Sabbath laws. There was a lot of things going unlooked upon and undone because of their disobedience.
Yeah.
Okay? That's where they're at. Then they get permission and even help from the king to go rebuild Jerusalem.
Amen.
The temple, the walls.
Yeah.
And that's what they were had just finished. They had reinstated all of these laws of the Mosaic law that they had been not doing.
Right.
They had been rejoicing. They were glad about it. Nehemiah heads back to the king to do his duty. And he decided, you know, I need to go back to Jerusalem just to check on things. And that's what he did.
Mm.
When he got there, this is what he found as we just read. They had already gone back against the laws of Moses, of God, and were working on the Sabbath day. Plowing their fields, fishing, buying and selling from each other and from other people coming in from out of town, foreigners. Nehemiah sees all this, blows a gasket, stops it, told the people that were coming in from out of town, don't come back in here on the Sabbath day. Then he put up some people there at the gates, as we read in verse 19, to guard the gates against these foreigners bringing in their, what the Bible calls, wares, which was food, supplies, things that they were selling to make a living. And he said he was going to stop this. If they could stop it at the gate, the influence wouldn't come in.
That's right.
Remember, these were pagans out there. The Bible said they were from the land of Tyre. Not really sure about that. Land. But it wasn't, they weren't believers. They were heathen people. I believe that because they were coming in to the city on a regular basis, I'm sure it wasn't just the Sabbath day that they came in to sell their stuff. They were probably coming in every day of the week. And because of their familiarity, they began to learn their ways. They began to go against God's law.
Right.
They began to break the Sabbath. So Nehemiah's purpose for guarding the gates was also not so that they would just obey the Sabbath, but so that they would not get the influence from those people.
Right.
You and I have gates too.
That's right.
The eye gate and the ear gate. Those two gates is where most of the information that goes into our brains comes through.
Right.
Some of it does come through the sense of feeling and smell, but not much. Most of it comes through the ear gate and through the eye gate.
Right.
And what we allow into our minds through these gates will affect and even dictate our thoughts. Mm-hmm. They will also influence our decisions and our actions. That's why God told Israel in Deuteronomy chapter 6 not to associate with the heathen people, the pagans.
Right.
Especially don't marry them.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
Here in Nehemiah, he even reminds them of this. He said in Nehemiah chapter 13, he said, didn't this happen even to the wisest man on earth, Solomon? Even the wisest man on earth couldn't fight against the influence of these pagan people because he married them.
Yeah.
In Deuteronomy, God says, he says, don't associate with them. Don't marry them because they're going to influence you and cause you to go against my laws that I've given you. So what do we need to guard our ears and our eyes against? I'd like some involvement here. What things should we guard against our ears? The things coming into our ears and the things coming into our eyes. What things should we guard against?
Music.
Music? That's a big one.
False teaching.
Sir?
False teaching.
False teaching. Yes. That's also a big one. Yes, ma'am.
A lot of things on our cell phones.
Yeah.
A lot of things on our cell phones.
Should have Facebook. Period. Because it's just, even if, because I don't allow people on my page. Nobody that has nudity, nobody that curse, none of that. And even with that, because if they do anything like that, I delete them. I don't care if family, friends, they still send stuff.
Yeah.
So I think it's, even though.
So social media?
Yeah. Not good for Christians.
Anything else that we should guard against? What about our TV watching?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Anything else? Books?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wrong kind of books? Yep. You can get false teaching through that too,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yep. Yes, ma'am.
And I believe we need to guard ourselves, be diligent to guard your heart.
Mm-hmm.
Because out of the heart flows the issues of life.
Yeah.
It flows the thoughts that come in that may not even come from us. And we need to check our own self, have checkpoints in our own self.
And that's exactly what we're talking about. Our heart is our mind.
Yeah.
And we guard the mind, our heart, from the things coming in our ear gates and our eye gates.
Yeah.
Okay? So, we've already talked about music. Music that is not glorifying to God should not come in our ear gates. Even if we like it.
Exactly.
Even if it's our style that we like. If it doesn't glorify God, it's going to have negative impact on our minds
right.
and our hearts. Words and opinions of the unsaved or even saved people who are not thinking biblically.
Yeah.
Got to be careful who we hang out with and listen to.
Amen.
Right?
Right. Amen.
Of course, this can come from the wrong kinds of friends.
Yeah.
But it can also come through some of the things we've mentioned already, such as TV or social media. If Jesus was to look over your shoulder and see what you were watching, and you were embarrassed that he saw it, that should go on the discard list.
Yeah.
Television can influence our thinking by shaping our perceptions and beliefs through the content that we consume. Excessive TV watching can also lead to reduced attention spans and negatively impact mental health, contributing to issues like anxiety, depression, dementia, and even Parkinson's disease. The influences of violence, immodesty, non-Christian beliefs are real and are negatively affecting us.
Yes.
Even some of the games,
yeah.
these video games yeah. that have violence in them, negatively affects us in all kinds of ways. And Satan is not only aware of these effects, but uses them to his advantage. Social media has transformed some people into couch potatoes. There are some good things about social media. But it can still be addictive
yeah.
to any one of us.
Right.
So how do we guard our ears and our eye gates? We must establish healthy boundaries.
Amen.
Set a limit for yourself. None of us are invincible to the devil's tactics
Amen.
In and of ourselves.
Amen.
So we need to set limits, and then we need to stick to it. Okay?
Yes.
Number two, determine not to be addicted to it. Go on a fast from it for a day or a week
yeah.
or 2 weeks. And if you can't do that, you're addicted.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
Number three, pray and ask God for him to expose your sin. It is a sin to be addicted.
Yeah.
Paul said, I will not be held under the power of any. David even said in Psalm 119:37, turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity. What is vanity? Things that don't matter.
Right.
Things that have no purpose. Things that are pointless. Brother Bruce, but it's so funny. It just makes me laugh, and I need a good laugh. But it's vanity. Just because it's funny, by the way, I think sometimes the devil uses our tendencies to enjoy that kind of recreation, that he pulls us in and then he starts
yeah.
sliding in some of that wickedness
right.
of which we allow because it's funny. We used to spend our free time talking, playing games, and even working together as a family.
Yeah.
Now we sit around in a quiet room, gazing at a screen, seldom communicating. Me time has become more important than their time.
That's right.
Turning your phone or TV off and engaging in conversation with your family members is a win-win situation.
Amen.
We all know it's true.
Mm-hmm.
We all know that sometimes we look back on that 30 minutes or that hour or maybe longer where we've done nothing but look at a screen, whether it be on our phone or TV, while our loved one is sitting 12 foot away from us, or maybe even in another room. You're closing off bad situations, bad influences, and building a stronger relationship with those you love the most when you turn it off and decide that you're going to just talk with them. Let's go outside and do this. Let's go do that. Let's, or just talk. Just sit down on the couch and talk. Right?
Yes, sir. Amen.
We're talking about guarding our ear gates and our eye gates from things that are going to impact us negatively.
Mm-hmm.
Nehemiah had to put a stop to something, and he did it best by guarding the gates. We will do the same by guarding our gates. Satan wants to destroy us. He wants to destroy our families. And he uses the things that we like to do it.
Mm.
How is he doing with that? All we have to do is look around and see wrecked families, families that are in trouble, families, marriages that are struggling.
Yeah.
I want to encourage you tonight to set some limits.
Amen.
Build some fences. Establish some boundaries that will protect your ear gate and your eye gates from ungodly, non-Christian influences.
Amen.
Okay? We all need to do this.
Amen.
There's not a single person in here that doesn't need to do a check.
Amen.
And an inventory list.
You're right.
On what we're allowing in our minds, through our ears and through our eyes.
Amen.
That's not good. Things that if Jesus was to look over our shoulder, we would be embarrassed.
Amen.
To know that he saw what we saw.
Yeah.
And we did it on purpose.
Mm.
So I encourage you to check that out. Maybe even do a fast.
Yeah.
But guard your ear gate and your eye gates. Let's pray.
Amen.
Father, I do thank you for your word. I thank you for showing us the importance of guarding our gates. Lord, I pray that you would help us to do that. Lord, give us insight of the things that you want us to omit. Lord, I thank you for that. Help us to bring honor and glory to you like we should throughout the week. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Let's stand, turn it. 250.